Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of investment experience. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. New episodes are available monthly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.
You got a team, here's a word of the wise. You want to dominate your league? Go to Football Guys.
Football, I'm living in a fantasy. Football, got everybody mad at me. Football, because every game I had to win. Football, I got to be a champion.
Well, the NFL draft is almost here. And, well, the NFL draft, it's right here, almost. Yeah. And because of that, Bloom, we're going to see some trades, perhaps even one including Jerry Jeudy. We got some trades to go over, potential players movement. Deals are spurned in action when the draft comes around. We got to talk about Houston.
Yeah.
I specifically wanted to start with Jerry Jeudy, though.
Yeah, I think that it's a Bronco show, but if you look at the moves the Broncos have made, they're going to be a run first team. You bring in Marquez Callaway, someone that Sean Payton is very familiar with, and they have a surplus of receivers. The receiver market isn't as hot as it was in the last year or two, but there should be interest in Jerry Jeudy or Courtland Sutton out there. And I think that we should especially be tuned in to teams with new regimes. And I think what we've seen is that everything has gone a little quiet around the NFL, but they're behind the scenes. Wheels are turning, and we're going to learn. Every draft, we learn at least one thing that surprises us, right? Or even if it was on our radar, like, did we really think A.J. Brown was going to get traded during the draft last year? Really? You know, so there's some things we've heard about. There's some things that might happen that we haven't heard about. See, there's some things that may happen that we're just now hearing about, like Buda Baker wanting to get paid or traded. So I think there's going to be a lot of surprises, not just from the picks, but from, again, what happens during the draft. Teams tell the truth. They show us what matters to them. And for some of these teams, moving on or making changes to embrace a new regime, like what's happening in Denver, absolutely is going to happen.
Well, I'll quote the old lady from This Is 40, like, don't blink. Well, teams blink in the draft during that process. In this draft class for wide receivers, we won't jump into the minutiae of these players, but the wide receiver class isn't great. Yeah. I think I gave it a C. Painful C. So again, Jerry Jeudy, former first round pick. There will be interest there. I thought the Jeff Zeribiek article from The Athletic highlighting the Odell Beckham Jr. trade, which we'll talk about a little bit later or talk about now, Bloom. The interesting thing for me was that Courtland Sutton was on the Ravens' radar and the Broncos wanted more. Well, okay, you may want more in March, but at the end of April during the draft, that may be when you accept less, or maybe you do get more because teams are looking at the draft class. Maybe they miss out on the player that they wanted and they're able to just trade an asset to Denver or another team for one of these wide receivers.
Yeah, I think that you look at Denver, see, so if we just drill down on Denver, we're looking at if they have Patrick a healthy, you know, fingers crossed, a healthy Patrick, Jeudy, and Sutton week one, somebody out of that group's getting what, 30% of the snaps, 20% of the snaps, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and that doesn't even include KJ Hamler if he's healthy. And again, Marquez Callaway. So it doesn't make sense to pay Jerry Jeudy. It doesn't make sense to pay Courtland Sutton. Tim Patrick is the one guy that we don't question, right? Because he performed. He performed up to his contract. I think that Tim Patrick is the one that the new regime is embracing and saying, yeah, like we are happy with Tim Patrick as part of this team going forward. But it just doesn't make sense to have resources tied up in three top receivers. Isn't it fascinating, by the way, Cease, to go back and reverse engineer all this? This was all to bring Aaron Rodgers to Denver, which never actually happened, right? Right. They stockpiled all these pieces so that it would look great, like decorating the house. Like, isn't this how you like it? And now they're going to be a run first team. So you're redecorating, you are remodeling, and it just doesn't make sense to keep one of these receivers around. Like you said, Cease, deadlines spur action. So maybe they're holding out for a second round pick, but the draft starts and it's the second day and Denver doesn't have a lot of picks. maybe they'll take a third round pick. I think that you bring up Odell Beckham, you bring up the Ravens, and you bring up them trying to wring a little bit more out of the Ravens for Cortland Sutton. And they were right in so much as $15 million. Whew. $15 million guaranteed Odell Beckham at this point. And hey, Odell Beckham at his peak was one of the best in the game, one of the best in any era at his best. But after these injuries, after this layoff, wow, the Ravens are desperate. The Ravens are in a rough spot right now. So I think the Broncos were right to approach that and try to maximize their position. Well, that one didn't work out, but somebody's going to come calling because, like you said, Cease, it's this wide receiver class. There's not really a consensus of who's number one, and not because there's so many guys that deserve to be number one, but there's not really a number one receiver in this class.
What's funny, Bloom, is April is the month of lies, but then the closer you get to the draft, we start hearing truths again. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's how much lying can we get away with? Boy, this is a different conversation if we wanted it to. How much lying can we get away with? And, oh, yeah, now we have to tell the truth. Well, Adam Schefter's latest from Twitter was that you're going to see a quarterback at one. You may not see a quarterback until four. Houston is entertaining phone calls. And you're going to talk to Dane Brugler on the couch tomorrow. Right. That is Wednesday, 5 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure to stay tuned for that here on our YouTube channel. Like, comment, share, subscribe, blah, blah, blah. But what is going to happen with Houston, with those picks in between one, which I guess was going to be C.J. Stroud, although that has lost momentum. And it seems that Bryce Young is picked back up as that number one overall pick. Either way, might be quarterback at one. Not a quarterback till four, which is interesting, unless someone trades with Houston.
Yeah, and Dane Brugler, who's very much connected in, I think Peter Schrager also put out a mock that had Houston trading out of number two. This is something to watch. And see, there's truth, like, are they telling the truth? Is this true? And then there's truth that this is meaningful and it means something. And we might not know until after the draft starts what it actually meant, okay? But all at once this week, you are seeing a lot of items that Houston might not take a quarterback at number two, might not even select at number two. Dane Brugler said in his latest mock, I'm told there isn't a unanimous belief among Houston coaches that the available quarterback will be worthy of number two. Now, Dane put in his mock C.J. Stroud to Houston. He said, I'm still leaning Stroud. If not to Houston, then to another team. But my final mock, and I'm going to ask him about this tomorrow, next week might have Will Anderson Jr. or Tyree Wilson or a different quarterback. And you're seeing this come up at a lot of different places at once. Now, does that mean it's manufactured? Possibly. Probably. Does that mean that it's genuine? Possibly. Maybe not. But I think that one of the interesting conspiracy theories, and let me say this, whenever teams are trying to play the draft and manipulate other teams, don't waste your time. Just focus on your evaluations, focus on your resources, focus on your team. But yet that doesn't stop bad organizations. I'm just going to say bad organizations from trying to play this cloak and dagger game. Is Houston trying to play this cloak and dagger game? Are they trying to get Indianapolis to trade up to two? Are they trying to get Indianapolis to trade up to three? Arizona would love for somebody to trade up to number three, because that's the other variable here. Is C.J. Stroud worth trading up? Is Anthony Richardson worth trading up? Is Will Levis worth trading up? I mean, these teams are trying to figure this out right now as we speak, right? So Houston clearly wants it known out there that number two is available, or that there's internal differences of opinion on whether that pick is worth a quarterback. Is it meant to get somebody else to get antsy and trade up? Indianapolis thought they were going to be okay trading up to three. Maybe they need to trade up to two to make sure they get the quarterback they want. Maybe Indianapolis, Chris Ballard needs to have a poker face here. And if they just sit tight, maybe they'll get C.J. Stroud at number four. Like you said, Cease, there's a lot of possibilities. And Roger Goodell has to be happy, Cease, because what does this all add up to? Suspense. Uncertainty.
Yes.
We'll be here. We'll be here Thursday night in a couple of weeks to sort it all out.
Yes, we will be here for you on the Audible. And you brought it up with Buda Baker. We did touch on Baltimore and Lamar Jackson. Off air, you and I were talking about a number of things.
Sure,
the things we can like talk about on this show.
Yeah. That's the real show.
Right, exactly. That'd be a good show. Austin Eckler, that kind of has gone bye-bye. But again, the draft, Spurs, action. And yeah. I would say this as I spit all over my microphone. Everyone needs to be more like Howie Roseman, where it's just like, I'm doing the deals and I'm making it happen. And I'm not trying to game the other teams and make them do something. So then I know that you know that I know that you know.
Right.
Like, nope. Be like Howie, man. Make the deal. What are we? AJ Brown? Huh? Yeah. Done. What? Pay Jalen Hurts? What? Done. So yeah, Baltimore, you could take a note. Arizona, you need to do something with Kyler Murray's dad because he's creating problems behind the scenes, allegedly, or whatever I have to say, Bloom. But like, yeah, you've got some teams that might be spurred in with these other players, interesting players, big name players, including whatever the hell is going to happen with Lamar.
Yeah, I think that we have a number of players that are not showing up for voluntary workouts, which doesn't really mean anything in terms of can they hold on to the season.
Aren't they all franchise tag players, right? Like Josh Jacobs isn't showing
Josh up. Jacobs, Evan Ingram, Saquon okay. Barkley, Lamar Jackson. What have we seen in the last few years? Accelerated decision making, right? It used to be, well, whatever, we're going to let him play out the last year of his contract. We're going to let him play on the tag this year, and then we'll figure it out next year. But if you know you're in an impasse and you know there's no future in this relationship, like an AJ Brown, right? Like a Davante Adams, like a Tyreek Hill, like maybe Buda Baker, who has requested a trade. And I'm going to bring up the Buda Baker thing just to say that that's not the only thing that happened that we don't know about. We just found out that Buda Baker said, according to sources, trade me or make me the highest paid safety in the game. He has 2 years left on his deal. Arizona, by the way, can we say as a quick aside that Arizona now is joining that list of bad organizations, or at least it's known now. Boy, everything's on fire there. It's bad.
Yeah, we kind of knew.
We always knew. But yeah. Now we're getting confirmation. Even Steve Keim himself is talking. Even he's talking.
Get yourself a doppelganger if you ever want to do anything out of bounds, shall we say. Mm-hmm. Don't listen to me. This is not legal advice. This is not pending advice.
He's not your lawyer.
Get a doppelganger.
Yeah.
Do what Arizona's done. Huh? That wasn't even me.
Right, the hot dog guy. We're all looking for the guy who did this. It is like Steve Keim's like, yeah, you know, DeAndre Hopkins isn't that young and his contract's not great, so he's going to be tough to trade. Who traded for DeAndre Hopkins? I don't remember. Anyway, the point is that yes, there's a lot of situations where there's a difference of opinion between team and player about what's going to happen in the future, and we may see some players traded. Again, the running backs. So we have these four running back situations. Don't forget Derrick Henry. I'm not saying that it's a, you know, it might be 0.01% chance, but it's not 0%. Austin Eckler, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon,
right?
You know, these are situations like I think that we would have expected Joe Mixon wouldn't be on the roster. Dalvin Cook, you know, listen to what Adolfo Mensah is saying, and he's not committing to anything about Dalvin Cook in the 2023 season. So we're going to see movement on some of these things, and we're going to see basically resolution, because if we don't see movement during the draft on these situations, then we're going to see resolution either down the line in terms of a release for the running backs, or in terms of these other players, they're just going to play out the franchise tag. But there's going to be a lot. Like every year during the draft season, there's too much for us to process at once. It's the fire hose. There's just too much. But that's what's great about having all of May and June and July until training camp start to absorb it
and kind of dry off a little bit.
Yeah.
Figure stuff out. My grandma always used to say, tend to your own garden.
Yeah.
You know, instead of worrying about what your neighbor's doing or whatever, like tend to your own garden. I think in the NFL draft, your best teams are the ones that tend to their own garden. Like maybe dabble a little bit in the game, but the game, you can get played in this game if you're trying to play the game. So have I confused everybody yet? Yeah. I hope so. But you mentioned the quarterback situation, whereas one time we thought four in the top 10, I'm not even sure four go in the first round. Again, I'm the one person, I don't know. I haven't really checked in with what other people are saying, but like, I don't have Will Levis as a first round graded player, but it's a quarterback desperate league. But with Anthony Richardson, Hendon Hooker, talking to the Commanders, Hooker, who will need a redshirt year. He is the type of player that has a first round talent level if he was healthy. So perhaps someone wants a fifth year option there. So the fifth year option does change some things, But I think just the quarterback conversation alone, it was going to be four, one, two, three, four, all quarterbacks. Like, nah, we may struggle to get to four in day one.
Yeah, and it may not be the four that we think. And with Hilker throwing a monkey wrench into projecting this. I think you're right, Cease, in so much as what did last year teach us is no matter what people say about quarterbacks, whatever the media is saying about where they could possibly go or they merit this high of a pick, teams may have pulled back a little bit on the quarterback desperation. So, you know, Carolina did their job getting up to number one. And like you said, if you're following this, you're following the betting markets, if you're following the buzz has definitely shifted back to Bryce Young. And, you know, some people, what was the best thing you could say about CJ Stroud at number one? He's the safest pick. Well, you don't trade up to number one to get the safest pick. Even San Francisco didn't trade up to number three. Mac Jones wasn't really safe unless you're talking about fines and making enemies out of players. Anyway, sorry. I think that you will probably see at least one of the quarterbacks drop farther than expected. I do think that Anthony Richardson is still going to be a player a la Lamar Jackson. He's probably not going to get out of the first round. It's just there's just too much potential there. But Levis, I think there's questions about Hooker, even aside from the ACL, there's questions about Stroud. I think what's interesting is we just had Stroud, young Stroud 1-2 for most of this draft process. And now, as we talked about earlier, it's being inserted into the process. Well, he might not be number two. So I think that, again, there's your suspense. And I think that, of course, the other thing that we're going to wait to hear is the terms of the Aaron Rodgers trade. So we'll get to hear that. But I think, you know, we have some quarterback situations. You mentioned Washington. Is it Sam Howell? Is it Jacoby Brissett? What is it, someone they're going to draft? I think that there's still some quarterback situations, obviously Indianapolis, Seattle's future, the Raiders' future, Tennessee's future. You know, there's some teams that we may know who's going to start week one this year, but we may find out during the draft who's going to start week one next year.
It'd be perfect for Seattle to get Anthony Richardson. Oh. I think that's almost too good of a spot, because I was thinking, like, if there's any chance he falls in the first round, like any team, even if you're Kansas City, like, as, and I know it would never happen and people are going to turn off as soon as I say this, but like, we have to remember that the Dallas Cowboys used the number one overall pick in back-to-back years on quarterbacks.
Yeah.
One, it was Troy Aikman. And then the next year they used the supplemental draft, which happened to be number one overall as well, for Steve Walsh.
Yeah.
So like, yeah,
don't rule anything out. Why? And again, cause Adam Harstad, let's give credit to Adam Harstad, our favorite, saying that not only did the Cowboys use two number one picks, they didn't know the supplemental pick was going to be number one, but they knew it was going to be really high. They knew their team was not there. They used that supplemental number one on Walsh before Troy Aikman had ever even been in training camp. They didn't even know what they had yet in Troy Aikman. Right. So it wasn't a reaction to, oh, I don't know if Aikman's the guy. It was just, if you have this asset and you can turn it into a potential franchise quarterback, then you have to consider it. And that's why, I mean, why not bring up Detroit? Detroit and Seattle are the most interesting teams here because they have two first round picks. So they have the latitude, just like Baltimore when they took Lamar Jackson, they have the latitude to use one of those first round picks that, you know, could be a misfire, could be a shank, but you can afford that in a year that you have two first round picks.
Yeah. And go for it. I think, again, be like Howie Roseman. Just go for it, man. It's not for long for a reason. And all these teams that are playing it safe, because we got to be safe, like, you're not going to be there in 3 years.
Yeah.
So you see a talent like an Anthony Richardson, you go for it and you make it happen. I wish we could see more of that in the draft, Bloom.
Yeah. And I think that we will absolutely call out those teams. We're going to do our series. I think we're going to do our series, our audible tradition of recapping the team's drafts division by division and giving you our takes, our knee-jerk takes, while we're still absorbing everything. And I think we definitely want to, give props to the teams that are bold, that aren't playing it safe, because like you said, Cease, the funny thing is that if you play it safe, you're doing it in the NFL to protect your job, right? Why are these decision makers playing it safe? Well, I don't want to lose my job. I don't want my job to be tied to this guy. I don't want to get over my skis and crash and tumble like the old Wide World of Sports agony of defeat. But actually, you're undoing your long-term job security. because owners will only tolerate 8 and 9 or 7 and 10 for so long. So actually, if you want long-term job security, you should go for it. And there's something in there for all of us in our life. Bet on yourself. Always bet on yourself, because if you lose, well, then it doesn't really matter anyway.
Well, what's funny is we talk about players not showing up for workouts, and then the players that do, like Ryan Tannehill and Zach Wilson, you're like, oh,
yeah,
I know why.
Yeah,
I know what you're doing. And Matthew Stafford is feeling good. I'm just looking over some news. So it's like, okay, yeah, it's about time for that cycle to start again. What's interesting, Bloom, because mm-hmm. it is a Broncos show, mm-hmm. Sean Payton isn't having anything open for the media at all, like at all. And mm-hmm. it's very odd, because I should have been out there multiple times already in the last week, and it hasn't happened because nothing's open. So some teams are open, some teams are not.
Yeah, and I think, maybe for the Broncos and Sean Payton, it's just a sign of how serious this is, you know, the directive.
How seriously bad things were.
Yeah. Yeah. And hey, I heard Walmart is closing like 20 Walmart locations, too. So maybe they're looking at this like, we got to get a return on this investment. I don't know. I think that there's a new sheriff in town for Denver, and they've got to get some stuff sorted out internally before they want to open up their doors and have people see what's going on. So, I think the most fascinating teams to watch as the draft unfolds are the teams with new decision makers that might show us things that we weren't anticipating about how quickly they're ready to move on from the previous blueprint and the pieces.
You mentioned him super quick, so yeah. I will mention him super quick right back at you, because we are talking about draft day trades.
Right.
Is there any chance Mac Jones is dealt?
If somebody wants him.
He only fit two systems. He only fit New England and New Orleans. And you'll note, because it is a Broncos show, Sean Payton liked Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Because he fit his system. Now they're fine with Jarrett Stidham, which he really likes. That's a message, everyone, in your dynasty leagues. Mac Jones is a problem for Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick will get rid of problems.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and this is kind of like a Kadarius Toney situation, right? Although there is not a new regime in New England, but I think there might be with Bill O'Brien a new idea about how to approach the quarterback position. And you like what Bailey Zappi's saying. Bailey Zappi's saying the right things. Yeah, I'm going to go for it. Yeah, I want to win that job. But I think with Mac Jones, again, recapping, we've talked about this previously on the show. I don't know if it was the last show or two shows ago, that there were different reports from Tom Curran, who's been covering the Patriots forever, about frustration about Mac Jones, seeking help outside of the team. And that we even know about that is meaningful, because the Patriots are the last thing you want to do is, again, go outside of don't ever talk about the family's business with anyone outside the family. And I think that absolutely Mac Jones might have worn out his welcome. I think you're hearing more and more of the negative buzz about his relationship. But like Kadarius Toney, what do they get from a third round pick? I mean, that's what you're looking at. Who might be willing to give up a third round pick or fourth round pick for Mac Jones? But at this point, I think that list might be short. And I think, since we talked about all of these other things going on with the draft, and I just don't think Mac Jones is going to be a priority. And the reality might be, hey, he might be available for even less. This can be like a Josh Rosen situation. Wait, and the price will go down.
Yeah, yeah. It's again, staring contest. By the way, we do have some Pat Mahomes news. He's still not fully healthy. It's middle of April, which is fine. And he's a gamer or whatever. Like, we definitely, no one should be questioning his toughness, but that ankle is still lingering around. Yeah. And honestly, Kansas City might be one of the most fascinating teams to draft this year, just based on, like, okay, Travis Kelce's not young. Mm-hmm. So would you take a chance if Luke Musgrave is there, right? More of your why. Like, a Dalton Kincaid is more of an F, but he's a hell of an F. He's a Darren Waller, basically, in my opinion. Like, I really like Kincaid. We'll probably see three or four tight ends, three at least, maybe four, go in the first round. And I think that's what makes Kansas City so fascinating, because they can kind of go in any direction, but there's also a direction they need to be thinking about their future, whether that's future tight end or what have you.
Yeah, this is all 6 degrees of Kadarius Toney, right? Yeah. But you look at their team, you know, Mecole Hardman's gone, right? Okay, Marcus Valdes-Scantling is still there, but Juju Smith-Schuster gone. That didn't work out. He didn't prove anything to the team that made them want to bring him back, right?
Right, right.
So really, the showcase of your offense is going to be Marcus Valdes-Scantling and Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney. Again, for fantasy, it's hard to not see Kadarius Toney playing as large a role as he can handle and stay healthy for. This is a two tight end offense. They like Noah Gray. They like him a lot, but they, like you said, with Travis Kelce, makes sense. And this, of course, I'm going to bring up Matt Waldman because the conversation that has to be had that Matt has been outlining for us is the pendulum. The pendulum's swinging back to, it's great. Sean Payton is like leading the charge to the running game, right? Mm-hmm. The run game is the forward facing mode of offenses because defenses have got lighter. And if you want to incorporate all the potential deception, all the possibilities of a strong running game, you do that out of a two tight end set. So you're right, Cease, this tight end class is going to be important because it's one of the best classes we've seen. Maybe we may look back and say this is the best tight end class ever, depending on how these guys pan out. Right. But they also are intersecting with an NFL trend that's happening right now. The running game is back. Look at it statistically. Just watch games and let the games wash over you and you'll notice it. And I think that tight end for Kansas City makes a lot of sense. I think tight end for just about any team. I don't care what team you root for. Don't be surprised if they're taking a tight end in the first two rounds.
Who was the worst 1,000-yard rusher of all time? My brain just went there because I'm thinking it's the 90s, baby, right? Everyone's running the ball again. And I thought, Harold Green. Because as a football card collector, especially in college when I didn't have any money, I was like, got to get some Harold Green cards.
Yeah.
What is South Carolina Gamecocks?
Right. I was thinking of Ernest Jackson. I was thinking of Ernest Jackson because of Buddy Ryan. May he rest in peace. I'll trade him for a six-pack. Doesn't even have to be a cold one.
Yeah, but we're getting to that point where it's like somebody that you never thought would be a 1,000-yard rusher is going to be a 1,000-yard rusher. Sure. If teams line up that way.
Philip Lindsay? No, Philip Lindsay's good.
Yeah, you don't want to make Philip Lindsay fans mad. I've dealt with that myself. But we bring up running back because I saw Rashad White's like, he's gained muscle. Okay, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the Devin White thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that's a little more interesting. We did talk about trades. I didn't bring up Devin White.
Yeah. Well, again, this is one of those that we are becoming aware of this now, but this could be a situation that's been brewing for months. And much like the Arizona situation, you have on Tampa a team that is going to go through some transition, some rebuilding. Devin White wants to be the highest paid linebacker in the league. Unfortunately, he's coming off of not such a great year by however you want to evaluate his play. So there was a really good piece, Pewter Report, one of the best team-centric outlets out there, saying, yeah, White's overplaying his hand a little bit here. Nobody, okay, you want to get traded? Great. Well, any team you get traded to, you're going to demand this $20 million a year contract. You didn't play like a $20 million a year player. Now, he's getting to the end of his rookie contract with the Bucks, but he has to play better to get the contract that he wants. Now, he might try to do something silly, because it's one thing to say, I want a new contract. Okay. It's another thing to say, I want to get traded or I want a new contract. That's a way to get yourself out of town. But I don't think anybody's going to want to trade for Devin White right now, unless you're looking at like a Chauncey Gardner-Johnson situation where you have him play out and then you see what happens the following year. But you're not trading him with a new contract. So I'm not sure what Devin White's plan is here. I know what the Bucks' plan here is. Will you either show up and you play for us? Or if you really want to play this game, fine, don't show up. You know, we have recourse under the CBA. I don't think the Bucks are willing to give him anywhere near the money he wants. I don't think any team is willing to give him anywhere near the money that he wants. And look, what did the Bucks do, Cease? They signed Lavonte David, one of the all-time great Bucks linebackers, to another one-year deal. So if there was money to splash around at linebacker, it's gone, and it ain't getting spent on Devin White.
I know we're like a week behind. Forgive us. But the Jeff Okuda deal.
Sure.
A lot of varying opinions on that, Bloom.
Well, Atlanta's doing some interesting stuff, right? Atlanta's making some interesting moves. And again, I think what we can outline with Atlanta is Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith understand that You don't force it. That's another team, by the way, we put in the quarterback. Maybe they move up as a quarterback falls. Maybe a quarterback falls to them. But I think they're going with a plan of you build everything around the quarterback, and then when the moment to get your quarterback comes, you get your quarterback, but you don't force it. You don't force that moment. So, you know, you bring in Bud Dupree for a couple million. That's great. You know, veteran players that want to rehabilitate their value, right? Hey, Bud Dupree can have 12 sacks this year and stay healthy. He's going to get another $50 million on the open market guaranteed next year, right? Mm. Jeff Okuda, what'd they give up to get him? Like a fifth round pick, you know? You still have Jeff Okuda on a rookie deal. You have a player that was good enough to go number three. He's also been hurt. He's been hurt. He had an Achilles. He had a, I think it was a thigh injury or something at his first year. So there's plausible reasons that he hasn't played up to that. Detroit, they splashed around, I think, money on really good deals for Emmanuel Mosley, for Cameron Sutton, right? They're looking good at cornerback. They don't need Okuda. And remember, Okuda will still do like $5 million because of the rookie deal. So Atlanta's going to take that money off of their books, try to rehabilitate him. But I think what Atlanta's doing is very interesting because they see this division is there for the taking, even if they have Desmond Ridder at quarterback.
Yeah, yeah, it's right there if things line up. Bloom, any final thoughts as we wrap up today's newsy show, counting down to the draft, looking forward to the draft, looking forward to Dane Brugler on the couch tomorrow. Again, show's releasing at 5 p.m. Eastern time right here on the Football Guys YouTube channel. So like, comment, share, subscribe, hit the notification bell so that you never miss a vid. But Bloom, any sort of parting thoughts?
Well, I think that if you spell out the first letter of every news item, news, air quotes, it's just to keep your brains limber. Keep your minds open. We're about to get a lot of new information. The plate tectonics are going to be in motion. You might feel your seat move a little bit. That's okay. The seat cushion can be used as a flotation device if we crash. A lot's going to happen. Some of it's going to be expected. Some of it's going to be contemplated. Some of it's going to be unexpected. It's all going to be stimulating and revealing about where these 32 teams are heading, where they think they're heading, where they've been. And it used to be, I feel like that the NFL news cycle actually has exhaled during April. It hasn't been as breathless as it has been in years past. But we all feel a sense of relief when the draft actually starts because we're back in dealing with the real instead of the speculation, and I'm here for it.
Doesn't this seem just crazier? God bless America. I think we say that every year, but like this, I will do a first round mock draft. I'll do it the 2 days before the draft, basically. It's going to be not a lot of hits in this one. I think it was 2 years ago. I got like 10 picks correctly, and it was the number one, whatever. I'm like, yeah, that was 10 of 32.
Yeah,
this will be tough to get anywhere near that.
And I think, Cease, if I can say, bring fantasy football in, I think the reason it's getting quote unquote crazier is because we do have, what's the refrain? It's not fantasy football. Well, look at how some of these teams are running things. There is a more of a fantasy football mentality about like, let's try it.
It kind of is. Yeah,
it kind of is like fantasy football. So I think what you're seeing is more teams willing to follow through on plans that are bold, that reflect not consensus or conventional or orthodox ways to build teams. And because of that, a lot more possibilities are on the table. It makes it harder to predict what's going to happen, but it makes it a lot more interesting once it unfolds.
Mm-mm-mm. He is Sigmund Bloom. You follow him on Twitter at Sigmund Bloom. I am at Cecil Lammy. The show is at The Audible. We certainly appreciate each and every one of you out there. Again, on the couch coming up 5 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday. All of our shows on our Football Guys channel will hit for you on a daily basis. We appreciate you. Be safe. Be kind. Know that you are appreciated. Stay tuned. And as always, stay frosty.
It's a wrap.
And that was The Audible.
We're also available for picnics, large meetings, children's parties, and smokers.
Bite my shiny metal ass.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches.
He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.